Everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ryan Schneider. I'm one of the youth leaders. Today being the fifth Sunday, it's a youth Sunday. So I get the privilege to be up here and be able to share with you guys a little bit about what I've been going through and some verses that have really been helping me and that I feel like will help a lot of people. And so before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this day today, and we thank you for just this building and facility to be able to gather today, Lord, free of persecution, just be able to worship and fellowship and hear your word, Lord, and just pray that you clear our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you just keep all distractions away and that the message speaks to us, Lord, and that you speak through me, Lord, that's your words and not my, just pray that you bless this time together. We thank you for everything we have and don't have. In Jesus' name, amen. So, can you guys believe that we're already almost halfway through the year? Like, it's already going into May, and feels like this year has just started. And, you know, me still being a pretty young guy, I'm still into social media and looking at just random stuff that people post, memes and everything. And I remember when this year started, everyone's like, all right, 2017 kind of ended on a rough note, but we're going to take the month of January, and this is going to be our test. If it goes good, then 2018 is going to be great. If not, we're all going back to 2017. Seems like January did not turn out very well for many people, but 2018 still came, and as the months have been going by, it just seems like the more I talk to people, the more everyone's still going through a lot of rough stuff. Whether it be something like death in the family, there's been a lot of death around lately, and even towards the end of 2017 into this year, it's just been a lot of death that a lot of people have been having to go through. And it could be that, it could just be job struggles, it could be just personal struggles. It just seems like 2018 will not stop hitting everybody with issues. I know, including myself, that's been something that I've been struggling with lately, is just these small little things that aren't going my way. They're not even major stuff, but so many things that just keep going wrong that I wasn't expecting, and it's really been piling up and discouraging me, and I get to the point where I just kind of shut down. I just get to the point where I'm like, all right, Lord, you're in control, but I'm kind of, my flesh is just like, we're done. Like, we're just going to ride this out and see where it takes us. And as a Christian, I do give it to God. I do pray for strength, courage, understanding, but it still doesn't take away how my flesh feels, the pain that I feel inside every day. For those of you who don't know, I'll explain a little bit about my past. I suffer from depression, anxiety, and a lot of trouble with actually not so much hating myself, but actually being okay with myself. Something I struggle with, even now, not as much as before, but when times get tough like it has been, I start to just shut down and be like, it's all right, whatever happens, happens, and God's got control, but inside I'm still hurting. So I've been at, like I said, it's been going on for a couple weeks, and every single time I'm just hear this voice saying, Job. That's it. Just Job. I'm like, God, what are you talking about, Job? Like, why do you keep telling me Job? For those of you who don't know Job, I'm going to read the first three verses. We're going to be in Job 17 in a little bit. But I want to just kind of explain Job's life. In verse 1, chapter 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 male donkeys, or female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So, with that, I'm like, God, why do you keep telling me about Job, this guy who had everything? He was, like, the richest person, and he had enormous livestock. He says right there, 3,000 camels, 7,000 sheep. Most of us only have 2 dogs. And even that gets a pain sometimes. And this guy had a large, large herd. And that was pretty much, that's how you knew if a man was wealthy or not. Like, that was pretty much their job. That was their wealth for the most part. Now, on top of that, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a great large house, and he was living pretty good. It says he was a blameless and upright man. Basically, he was straightforward. He was ethically right. He wasn't someone whose morals were like twisted, and he was doing some shady stuff. He was morally a straightforward guy, had the right mindset. Says he was blameless. But key thing is, he was blameless, not sinless. Yes, he still sinned. We all sin. He's human. So it's not saying that he was perfect. He still had things he dealt with. But it wasn't like someone couldn't go and accuse him of something and be like, well, because of all the shady stuff he did, it might be true. It's not the type of guy Job was. He was a God-fearing man. He was a good man. So Satan goes to God and he's like, hey, you know, Job's pretty loyal to you, but that's because you've put a hedge around him. You've protected him. You've given him all these things, and so he's had really no struggles to really go against you with. Everything's good in his life. So he says, let me take everything from Job, and he'll surely curse you. So God says, go for it. Just don't touch him. So sure enough, one of his servants comes and he's like, hey, all of your sheep died. He says, this happened and they all died. And as he's explaining, another servant comes and says, all of your camels died. All of your ox. Every single livestock he had, his wealth, they were all dying, and he was just hearing at it. Before one guy could finish, the next guy was coming to tell him that something else died. And then another servant comes and says, all your children are dead. So not only did he just lose basically all of his wealth, but he just now lost all of his kids. All at one time. Now to us, we lose anything. We lose one person and we're heartbroken. We lose a loved one and we're destroyed inside. Job lost everything he had and all of his kids. We probably will have shut down and just given up, and who knows what each one of us would have done, but we will have just completely turned and probably given up all hope. But that's not what Job does. Instead it says, then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. It's a big part. He didn't charge God with wrong. A lot of times we're like, why? Like, why would you do this to us? Really, what place are we in to say, why would you do that to us? We all know we're sinners. We all know that the punishment Christ had to suffer for us, we deserve that. Just put in a little bit of a more personal touch. the cat of nine tails as he is whipped, if you do the math and you count each lash, each rope on the nine tails, he was whipped like 360 times. We deserve that. So who are we to say, why would you take that from us? Why would you take anything from us? If we deserve that type of punishment and he took that punishment for us in our place, then who are we to go and just have a meltdown and be like, why would you take this from us? Now, it's understandable that we do hurt, and God understands when we get that, not anger, but the pain, and we want answers, and so sometimes it comes down as anger. But Job doesn't do this. Job, he praises God. He says, I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave this world with nothing. It's the same thing with us. We came in this world with nothing at all. The cars we drive, the houses we have, the clothes, we didn't have any of it. That was all given to us after. And when we die, we're leaving with nothing. So Job, he makes sure he worships God. He says, yes, I just lost all of my wealth, pretty much. Yes, I just lost all of my kids. But you know what, Lord? I came in with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. And I know that you are always in control. It says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives glory through these hard times. So, after that, you know, Job, he doesn't crack. He's like, God is still great. God is still almighty. I still love him. I worship him. So Satan goes and says, you know what? I just took everything. And surely, if I take his health, then he'll curse you. In my mind, I'm like, you just took all my wealth. My house basically just burned down. You killed all my kids, or all my kids died. And you're going to take my health? Go for it. Send me to my kids. That would be how I would react. So with me, I'm like, what is Satan trying to accomplish? Like, if anything, as a human, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Send me back to my kids. I want to be with them again. But Job, he stays strong. He gets sick. He gets boils all over. His wife is sitting there pressuring him. She's like, just curse God and die. It'd be better if you just die. So now, not only is Satan attacking his health, but now his wife is like, just give up. Give up and die. You've lost everything. You're sick. It's not worth it. But Job, he tells her, he says, shall we accept good from God, but reject adversity? He's like, why should we only praise God when we have the good stuff going on in our lives? Why not praise God when we go through hard times? No matter what, God's in control. Why is our hope, our drive and worship and faith for him reliant on how my life is going? Job's saying it's not. I'm going to praise God whether I'm going through good times or I'm going through bad times. Even his friends go up to him and say, they're like, dude, you must have done something wrong. They believed if you did something wrong, you would be punished for it, and then you'd have to repent, and then it would be okay, and things would go back. So they're sitting there like, Job, we know you're a godly man, but what did you do wrong to God? Why are you going through this? You need to figure it out and repent. It got tough for Job. He had everything, and now he had literally nothing. Even his loved ones, his ones close to him, couldn't understand. And us, we have each other. We have family. We have friends. We have fellow Christians who, a lot of times, they don't even have to know you. They just love you, and you tell them a little bit about what's going on, and they completely understand. Job didn't have this luxury. They didn't understand. He was basically alone. Losing all this alone, And now we're going to get into chapter 17. This is what he prays. It says, "My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden their heart from understanding. Therefore you will not exalt them. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. My eye has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day, the light is near, they say, in the face of darkness. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust?" So that's Job's prayer. He's going through all this. His friends keep telling him he's wrong. He has to do something to fix it. His spirit is broken. Going through all that, there's no way your flesh can't be broken. He's had no real answer from God. He's going through all this. He's praying. And he hasn't really gotten a reply from God. So as a human, you start to wonder, you're like, I know myself, through the heavy part of my depression, I started to wonder, is God even there? Is he even listening? Am I really alone? Did I lose, like from Job's perspective, did he lose all his friends, his wife, his children, and now God? Now we know that's not the case. And Job knew that, but your spirit breaks, and you start to wonder, and you start to feel like you're truly alone. And he asks God to put down a pledge for him, or in a way he's like, God, bail me out of this. Whatever I did, whatever I am being punished for, bail me out of this. I need your help. I need you to get me out of this. It says no one around him can understand. Like I've been saying, they think for sure that Job did something wrong. He has literally no one to turn to because everyone close to him is basically, in a way, against him, even though he knows he did nothing wrong. When I read this, like I said, I've been struggling with small stuff from the last couple weeks that just keep adding up and up and up. And God kept saying, Job, Job, just every single time, Job. And I did not understand why. I was like, God, I know the story. I know Job had everything, lost everything, and still stayed faithful. So I sat down, I started reading, and I read the first couple chapters, and I just started skimming and skimmed through a lot of it. A lot of it is back and forth between his friends and his prayers. And I got to this chapter 17, and in my Bible I have little headers above everything. It says, Job prays for relief. And I could not get past that. As soon as I saw that, I couldn't keep scrolling. I didn't even really read the rest of Job after that. I read chapter 17 and it just spoke to me. I saw this prayer as a conversation I have with myself. I sit there and talk to myself. I'm like, why am I going through this? What's the reason? start to question the type of person I am. Start to question if I really like the person I am, if I really like myself. And my spirit just starts to break. And Satan starts to come back and he's like, hey, remember when you were depressed? Remember when you were cutting? Remember when you were doing all these other things? And remember how great it felt? Just all your problems went away. And I'm like, you know what? That did feel great. All my problems went away. And, you know, he's like, you can make them go away. But as soon as that thought comes to mind, God's like, no, you can't. He reminds me, he's like, yeah, they went away for that time. But the very next day, they were back. You didn't answer anything. You didn't deal with anything. Satan's just in there trying to get in my head to get me to fall away. It's kind of like what he's doing to Job. First, he took everything away. That didn't work. Well, let's give him an illness. That doesn't work. Well, now his wife is bugging him about just wanting to die. Now his friends are starting to slowly pick at him, trying to make him doubt. So I read this and I think of the conversations I have with myself, and though I pray for peace and understanding and wisdom, and Job here, he's not praying for an understanding. He's not praying for an answer. He doesn't want a solution. He's just praying for relief. So often we give our problems to God, especially as Christians, we know we give our problems to God and he's going to take care of them. But that doesn't stop ourselves from actually worrying about it. We still sit there and we stress and we say, God, we know you're in control, but it still weighs on our, basically our soul. We always want that quick answer or quick solution to know what's going on, why we're going through this. And it wasn't actually until about Thursday I was at work that I finally realized why I was going through all these small little things. Like, none of it was major stuff to get me down. But when you start getting hit over and over and over again with small stuff, starts to weigh on you. For those of you who know paintball, play paintball, I was playing one time, and the whole idea for a paintball is to hit you and splatter. And if it doesn't hit you, it's basically someone is shooting a giant marble at you at like 285 pounds per second. And I was the last one last one on my team left, and I was hiding, and I was against like three people, and I picked one off from a bush, and everybody turned on that bush and just started shooting in the bush, which, one, is fine, two is fine. When you take five to the side that aren't breaking, you eventually give up. You can't breathe anymore, your whole entire side is bruised, and it hurts like crazy. When that paintball doesn't break, your body's taking the full impact. Because at least if the ball breaks, it's not the full impact. But I eventually gave up, and I was like, no, I'm done. I quit. I surrender. Like, just don't shoot me anymore. It hurts. I didn't see a way out anyway, so it's not like I was going to go and just eliminate the rest of the team and walk out a victor. It was a work game. It wasn't even a prize. But that's how these things are in our lives. Sit there and one thing hits us and, all right, it hurts. It's all right. You shake it off. But while you're still feeling that pain of the first hit, now another hit comes. And now another one. And another one. Eventually, we get to the point where we're like, we're done. We give up. I don't want to do this anymore. Is it even worth it? Like I said, that paintball game, it was just for fun. It was not worth it to take five more shots to the side. But with our faith, it's worth it. We have a reason. We have something to look forward to. We have a hope. We might not be able to see it, but we know God has something planned for us in our lives, and that he's going to bless us And eventually, he's going to return and come for us. So all these little things started coming and pelting me, and I was like, man, Lord, this has been like 2 weeks now. Started off like small stuff, like just stuff like I didn't get approved for a loan. Well, it's like I really wanted that new Jeep. That'd be really nice to have, but that's fine. Then I go to work, and work's like, hey, we know that your job takes 7 hours to do, but now we want you to do that job 4 times in 1 day. And it's like, oh, well, that's not going to happen, but I'll do it. And the next day they're like, oh, never mind. We want you to do 8 jobs in 1 day. And yeah, I'm sitting there like, you want me to do 72 hours of work in a 10-hour workday? And they're like, yeah, pretty much. So eventually that gets on you. And every single day you dread going into work because you know you're just going to be rushed. And they're like, put your name on this, say that it's your top quality. And you're like, this is nowhere near my top quality, because if I don't put it up, you're going to yell at me. If I put it up like this and you don't like it, you're going to yell at me. So then you don't like going to work. You didn't get that car you wanted, so that can't even cheer you up. Then you're like, well, I'll vent to my friend. Well, my friend can't talk because now he's going to school every single day of the week. And I work nights. He's in school during the days. So now I can't vent to him. And then next weekend I was like, I'll just go look at a cheaper Jeep. You know, if I can't get the brand new one, then maybe I'll get another one. And it was literally the perfect Jeep. Everything I want to do to mine. And I couldn't get the money for it. And it just starts building up and up. And even though none of it really matters, after a while, you just get so drained with absolutely nothing going your way, you just kind of give up. And then at work, they know me as a Christian. They know I'm a youth leader. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and he's like, yeah, what are you doing this weekend? I was like, oh, I've got all these plans. And, you know, through all these plans, I still have to get my study, and I'm going to be teaching up in the main sanctuary. And he's like, oh, cool. He goes, let me hear it. I'm like, oh, no, no, I've only read. It's like, I'm still reading the verses. Like, I'm still trying to get through the verses first before I actually dig in and make a study. And he's like, oh, it's fine. Just go ahead and just let me know what the chapter's about. So I start telling him about Job. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to go off of Job 17. Job is a wealthy man at the time, and he loses literally everything. And even when he loses everything, he still doesn't break down. He still doesn't give up. He stays strong. And he even blesses God and prays to God, not for answers or solutions, but for relief to be able to get through it. And my coworker just stops and goes, anytime I talk to you, you bless me and help me with my life. He's like, I've been sitting there, and he was supposed to come to Easter, to sunrise service, and he's like, I need God, I need God, I need to go get back to church. I haven't been in the longest time. And he's like, I'm really going to try to come. And he ended up not showing up. And then he hears my music. He goes, you know, I really like that. At work, I play Christian rap because my area listens to a lot of rap. So I was like, Christian rap? And he's like, you know, I want this entire playlist. He's like, can I give you my iPod and you could download it? I'm like, yeah, of course. Now, of course, we know Satan gets in there and he ends up forgetting his iPod every single day. But he's at least sitting there and he's hearing the word and he's hearing stuff he likes and he knows what he needs. And I'm sitting there now feeling bummed out, depressed, because everything in my life isn't going right. And I'm like, why am I going through this? And when I actually got to sit down and talk to him and tell him that and see the relief and the joy on his face after hearing that, that just made my night. And that actually was when I finally realized why I was going through everything I was. And that actually helped me make my lesson today. My whole lesson was revolved around that, basically. Because we go through, I realize we go through so much, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. We go through so much, and we get so beat up, and this 2018 does not seem to be letting up at all. And we get so discouraged. But we should be handling it like Job. He prays for relief. Now, the difference between peace and relief to me, peace is an acceptance over however the outcome is. If it ends good, you're fine. If it ends bad, you're fine. You're just at peace with whatever the outcome is. To me, relief is a sense of rest inside to be able to get through the situation. It's not so much being okay, like praying to be okay with the end result. It's praying to be okay and to find an inner peace and a point of rest inside with our own personal emotions while we're going through that. And Job, he's sitting here, he's saying, Lord, like I need you to give me a relief. My spirit's broken and I'm troubled inside, and I need that relief so I could get through this and stay focused on you. We should be praying for that. We don't always need the answer. Sometimes we never get the answer. So we can't sit there and just stress forever about what's going to happen to something that we're never going to get the answer for. That's when we need God's peace, when we need to pray for relief, to be okay through these trials we're going through, to give us a sense of comfort when life seems to be falling apart. Just yesterday, I was off-roading up in Big Bear, and there's a hill, and I looked at it, and I was like, I really want to do that hill. I want to go up there. My Jeep can make it. I don't care that I don't have all the upgrades. I could do it. Right when I get to the hill, I'm like, nah, I'll just take the bypass. Sorry, it's not worth losing my one Jeep that I'm okay with right now. In my head, I'm like, I'm keeping this Jeep in case I get my new one. I could sell this one for parts. Because, you know, new Jeep, you need to fix it all up. So I decided to go on the bypass, and literally, not even a minute into the bypass, I hear on the radio, Eugene, stop. And I'm like, what happened? I look over, and all of a sudden, I see this really nice limited edition 10-year anniversary Jeep hanging off the side of a cliff. He was going up the hill, and a rock spun out, flew out from under him, and even though he was in the middle, he slid about a good 7 feet all the way down to the side of the cliff. The only thing to stop him was two rocks that were perfectly placed at his passenger front and rear wheels. That's the only thing that kept him from the edge. And the crazy thing is, he's, like I said, it's a limited edition, it's a four-door, so it's long. So it's not like it just happened to be two rocks that were close to each other. There is a good amount of distance in between both of those rocks. If he was just slightly higher or slightly lower, he would have went straight over the rocks and rolled down the hill a couple times, and probably wouldn't have been fatal, but he would have rolled at least 5 times, been pretty beat up, and not have a Jeep. And, you know, like I said, I drive a Jeep. That's important to me. I'm like, I don't want to ruin my Jeep. Who cares that I rolled down the hill? As long as I have my Jeep, I'm good. That's actually the mindset it seemed like he had, because he got out and was taking pictures. We're all sitting there trying to save his Jeep, and he's like, hold on, let me take a picture of my Jeep about to fall off this cliff. But it took us about 45 minutes just to get him up. Nothing was going right. And this story actually wasn't even part of my plan until last service. Last service, I was like running out of time. I was like, man, I have to kill like 20 minutes. And God's like, talk about this Jeep. And I'm like, no, lie. It's just a Jeep story. What's the point? So I listened. I was like, I guess, Lord, if you want me to brag about Jeeps, I'll go off-roading and tell him about my story. And then as soon as I finished and talked about those rocks, God's like, there you go. There's what I want you to talk about. When you're going through those hard times, when you're starting to slide down that hill, starting to slide to the end, when you're feeling like giving up spiritually, Jesus is those two rocks that just held onto his Jeep. He's the rock that holds us up when we're struggling. So even when we're going through these hard times, even when we feel like giving up, Jesus is there. He's holding on to us, not letting us go. Even though he doesn't have to necessarily be answering. He hasn't answered Job by this point. But he's still holding on. He's still in control. In our lives, when we're hurting, when we don't know what's going on, what to do, he's got control. We just have to stop and pray. Yes, we could pray for answers, for understanding, for peace. But it's important, especially myself, I forget that we also need to pray for relief to be able to just get through what we're going through. We tend to think when we pray for peace, it falls with relief and that they're the same thing, but they're not necessarily the same thing. We need to pray for that comfort, for just that emotional rest that we need when we're going through all these hard times. I know 2018 is pretty rough. And it's probably just going to keep getting rough. The world's getting worse, it seems like. America's fighting with whatever thing pops up that someone doesn't agree with. It doesn't matter what it is. I could say this podium's black and they won't agree with it and that will cause a big commotion. Seems like that's the way America is going right now. We've got chemical weapons again being detonated, pretty much on the brink of war. But it's always darkest just before the light. And in our personal lives, when it's getting dark, we know that God has something planned to bless us. And it might not be right away, might be later down the road, but God's got something to bless us. And he's just building us up. He's trying to build our faith up. He's working in someone else's life. Like I was going through all that annoying stuff to help my coworker out because God's working in his life through me. So while I'm standing there feeling bad about myself, not knowing what's going on, God's working. We don't always see it. And we will be blessed, like I said. As soon as I found out, I was so happy and I felt so relieved and it all made sense. And with the way the world's going, I do believe that there's going to be a bright light that's coming soon. Now, whether that be Jesus' return, it could be. Or it could be a drastic change for America that turns in the right way, for the world that turns towards God. I don't know but I do believe that blessings are coming to us who stay strong. The world's looking for a better future coming soon. Like I said, it might be the coming of Christ. That could be it. Or it could be just a drastic change. But either way, I encourage you guys to stay strong and when you're going through all these hard times, to pray, yes, for peace, understanding, but also for relief so that you guys could comfort yourself. Like, your flesh needs rest, and even though it gets weighed down on, we need to pray for that rest to be able to get through it. So with that, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today, and we just thank you so much for always being there for us, even when we don't see you there. Like the Jeep story, you're that rock that holds us up. When we feel so helpless and so lost, you're that rock that keeps us on the foundation, that keeps us anchored. You're the only thing keeping us from falling down, Lord, and we just thank you so much for that, Lord. We just pray that in our hard times, Lord, we have the drive to be able to stick it through, Lord, and that when we start feeling weary, we pray for that relief, Lord, and that we always keep our eyes on you, Lord. Just pray that we never forget this, Lord, and that the message sticks with us, Lord, and that we could apply it to our lives. And again, we thank you for this building to be able to gather free of persecution. So many places, they don't get this luxury. We're here worried about not being able to get a car, or our bank account is tight. And in other places, they're worried about just being able to eat in a day, just being able to survive a week. And we just pray that we never forget that, Lord, that we don't forget to pray for those, Lord, but that we also don't forget that as hard as our lives are, yes, we could get down. Yes, it is rough for our lifestyle, Lord. But we pray that we don't forget that there's always someone worse than us, Lord, and that we pray for those, Lord. Pray for ourselves to be lifted up, to be inspired, Lord, to be able to help those that need us, Lord. Just pray that you always inspire us and keep us just anchored in your word. And we thank you for everything we have and don't have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.